Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on our analysis of the predictions for 2010 when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. Now our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of other lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. And that's correct. That's 90% over the next 50 years. So let's not delude ourselves into believing that we're going to stop all of these mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the world and impose a worldwide tyranny, a new world order upon all of us. But we don't have to participate in our own demise. We don't have to help them. We don't have to finance them. Nor do we need stand helplessly by and do nothing either. That's why I contend it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this global 2000, this New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page and you can download that free General Law CD package right there. And that's georgegordon.org and then go to the archives page. All right, we've been reviewing the forecasts put out by 23 newsletter writers, college professors, newspapers for the year 2010. They put these predictions out as early as January, February, and March. That's the first quarter of 2010, predicting what they expected to occur throughout the year. And then in June, I reported on that. I said, hey, listen to what these guys are telling you is going to happen. Now, I said then in June, I said, now let's put this up on the shelf here and let's come back in 6 months and let's see how accurate these people are. And so that's what we're doing now. This is the last week of December. So now I'm reviewing that. We're taking a look, and I've analyzed it. They made 137 predictions. That's 23 writers made 137 predictions. And when we get down here to the bottom line, their average accuracy is 19%. So we have 23 prophets, 137 predictions. The highest accuracy is 75%. The lowest is zero. 43% scored zero. Almost half of the 23 scored zero. 48% scored 50% or less. 50% or less. 9% scored above the 50% level. 9%. My conclusion after analyzing their performance was that on average you'd come out better if you flipped a coin. And if you took these 137 predictions and then flipped a coin and just went down the list, you'd score 50% just by random average. You could be right half the time. But by working at this and looking at the news that's coming in and looking at the facts and looking at history, you know, and looking at science and so on, and if you actually work at it, you'll score about 20%. That's about 1 out of 5. So their predictions are they make 5 predictions and one of them is correct. Now, that's actually a little bit disingenuous, because if you looked at the 137 predictions, I think all 137 of them are true, accurate, and correct. And that as time unfolds, they will all come to pass. Every last one of them, all 137, are going to come to pass. They're just not going to come to pass on the time schedule that these people are predicting. And in every single case, out of these 137 predictions by 23 conservative newsletter writers and college professors and newspapers and so on, I think all 137 of them are exactly correct. Now, I've got 9 more to go, so we're going to look at these 9, and then we're going to ask this question. Do you believe that President Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, the CIA, the FBI, and the Pentagon are totally ignorant and don't know anything about these 137 predictions, these 137 problems that are facing the United States and the world, and they're just totally ignorant? And when each and every one of these problems comes up, the president's going to say, we were blindsided. We just never had an idea. The Pentagon is going to say, total surprise, our intelligence failed us. The Congress is going to say, like Dick Armey, you've ruined my day. I had no idea it was this bad. Do you believe that? Let me tell you, the President of the United States gets briefed every morning. I think it's at 10 o'clock. Somebody comes over from the CIA. In fact, I think it's the head of the CIA. He comes over, sits down with the President every morning, and gives him an intelligence update. Do you believe that the CIA does not know about these 23 people? That the CIA has never heard of the Wall Street Journal or Lyndon LaRouche or Bob Chapman? Never heard of those guys. I don't believe that for a minute. In fact, when we get to it in the next program, I'm going to show you a report here, which is, see what the title of it is here. It's called FEMA Concentration Camps, Locations, and Executive Orders. And I'm going to read off some of the executive orders, because your government, that is, the President and the Congress, the Pentagon, the CIA, and the FBI, are not only aware of these 137 problems, they have already prepared for them. Yeah. See, I'm gonna run through one of them here. I wanted to give you a heads up on these FEMA concentration camps here. Listen to this. The next guy that comes up with a prediction is called the Alpha Omega Report Trends Forecast. I've never seen the Alpha Omega Report Trends Forecast. I think it's a newsletter. I don't know who puts it out, but listen, they came up with 11 predictions for 2010. 11. They put it this way. Let's see if I can find the page here for them. Come on, where's my page here? And their predictions were that the United States would have these problems. These problems. It says, going into 2010, the trends seem to lead nowhere or towards oblivion. God, that's a powerful word, oblivion. That's destruction 10 times over, isn't it? Geopolitically, the Middle East was and is tending towards some sort of military clash, most likely by mid-year, but perhaps even sooner. At the moment, it seems 2010 is shaping up to be a year of absolute chaos. I'm going to underline chaos because we got oblivion. Now we got chaos. We see trends for war between Israel and her neighbors that will shake every facet of human activity. In the event of war, we see all other societal trends being thoroughly disrupted. Iran will most likely shut off the flow of oil from the Persian Gulf. This will have immense consequences for the world's economy. Oil prices will skyrocket into the stratosphere. I'm going to underline skyrocket into the stratosphere. That's pretty powerful. And become so expensive that world's economies will collapse. Where there are also trend indicators along economic lines that point to the potential for a total meltdown of the world's financial system. Total meltdown. That's pretty powerful. Descriptive term. I'll underline that one. There will be a total meltdown of the world's financial system with major crisis points developing with the change of each quarter of the year. 2010 could be a meltdown year for the world's economy, regardless of what goes on in the Middle East. So I went through here, oblivion, chaos, skyrocket into the stratosphere, total meltdown, war. You know, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. And so, let me ask you the question. Do you think the Pentagon is aware of the potential for oblivion, chaos, skyrocketing into the stratosphere, and total meltdown? Do you suppose those words are in their lexicon? Do you suppose that Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, the president? Let me ask you this. Do you think that maybe President Clinton, maybe even President Bush, first and second, were they aware of these trends in the Middle East? Were they aware of the potential of Iran shutting off oil, that the world's economy could melt down, and that there could be chaos that would come from that, that might spell oblivion? You know, are these words, have they prepared? Well, let me tell you, in the executive orders, such as Executive Order 10-990, it allows the government to take over all modes of transportation and control highways and seaports. Isn't that martial law? Yeah, when the government declares martial law, then they take over the seaports, they take over all the modes of communication, all the modes of transportation. They'll take over the internet. They'll filter everything that's said, newspapers, so on. Executive Order 10-997. It allows the government to take over all electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuels, and minerals. Executive Order 10-995 allows the government to seize and control the communication and media. Executive Order 10-998 allows the government to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars. Personal cars. Did you hear that one? Boys and girls, then just take your car. Trucks or vehicles of any kind. And total control over all highways, seaports, and waterways. You remember seeing those grade B movies, you know, you used to go to? And about World War II and the Germans, you know, they had roadblocks everywhere. So as you're driving down the road, oh my God, there's a roadblock up ahead. And then everybody's got to get their papers out, and the German guard inspects their papers, you know, and then when they drive on down the road, they all breathe a sigh of relief because they got through the checkpoint. Yeah. Well, did you know that there's an executive order out there? Executive order. It's number 10,998. I don't know who signed that. It's a fairly recent one. It's either Bush, Clinton, or Bush, you know, around that area there. Executive Order 10-999 allows the government to take over all food resources and farms. then come right in here to my farm and tell me, we're taking all your cows, Mr. Gordon, and if you give us any grief, we'll just kill you right here in your lane, and then we'll take your cows. In the Civil War, the United States of America, this is the big government in Washington, they came out here to Missouri, and they took that tier of counties. If you'll look down here at the bottom of Missouri, clear up to the top, that borders along Kansas, and they just walked in there and they ordered all of the people in those counties out. They declared it a military occupation zone, and they said, out. And if we catch you in here, we will shoot you on sight. See how simple that is? The nation's at war, and you've got warring factions in Kansas coming across the border into Missouri making raids. And so the government comes in and says, well, we got to put a stop to that. And so they did. They just came over and took over all the farms. Now, fortunately for the people in Missouri that lived in those counties, the Union won the war, and then after the war, they paid reparations. Yeah, the federal government came in, they paid those farmers for the loss of production, the loss of their cattle, you know, and if their houses got burned down, things like that, they paid them for that. Now, if the Confederates had won, I don't know if they would have paid for that, because, see, when the Confederates won, they didn't go down, the federal government didn't go down to Mississippi and say, oh, my God, you lost your cattle, you lost your farm, you lost your house. Here, let us pay you for that. No, they didn't do that. Now, here's what I'm pointing out as we're progressing along here. Your government already knows about all 137 of these problems. They already know about oblivion, chaos, skyrocket into the stratosphere, and total meltdown. And they have put into place a series of executive orders to deal with all of that. Now, here's my point. If the government in Washington, D.C. is prepared for all 137 of these events, how come they didn't send us a letter and say, hey, Gordon, did you know that this is what we expect to come down in the future? So if you're laughing now and you're saying, hey, these 23 guys have their heads up their hind ends and they don't know what they're talking about. Well, wait a minute. The government in Washington, D.C. and in every state capital in the United States is preparing for the same 137 eventualities. The difference being is Washington isn't telling you this is going to happen in 2010. They're telling you it isn't going to happen at all. Well, if it isn't going to happen at all and they don't believe it's going to happen, then how come we have the executive orders in place? You know, come on, let's wake up and smell some coffee here. If you've got executive order 10,990 that allows the government to take over all the modes of transportation and control the highways and the seaports, and they're not expecting oblivion chaos and total meltdown, how come they have that executive order in place? What do you need it for? What's the purpose? Oh, no. They know what's coming down the pike also, and they're prepared for it. But like the Titanic, do you remember the story on the Titanic? This is always the way the game is played. Whenever disaster is about to occur, what's the government line? Go back to your stateroom. Everything's fine. Everything's under control. It's just a minor bump. And why do they do that? Well, because they're afraid that if they came out and told you the truth, well, we hit an iceberg, we got a 300-foot hole down the side of the ship. We know the ship is going to sink, we just don't know exactly when. We're abandoning ship right now. That's the truth. That's what everybody needs to know. In the final analysis, by the time the ship sank, everybody on board learned those facts. They learned those facts. Some of them didn't know that until, you know, an hour and a half. You know, some of them knew it within 15 minutes, and some of them knew it within a half an hour. And some of them learned a little bit later, and a little bit later. But by 3 o'clock in the morning, everybody on board the ship knew that, didn't they? The ship's going to sink. Now, they wanted to prevent panic. Well, okay, your government wants to prevent panic. See, if the government came out and gave you the same report that I'm giving you right now, don't you think that would give the American people a startling reason to panic? My God, you know, who could imagine what might happen next? So the government's official line is, don't you believe a word of it. In fact, they come out and say, hey, these people are kooks and nuts, and you don't need to believe a word of it. Now, here's what I'm leading up to. These guys have built 800 concentration camps. I'm going to read you the first paragraph here, and then we'll go back to Alpha and Omega. There are now over 800 prison camps in the United States, all fully operational and ready to receive prisoners. They're all staffed, and they're even surrounded by full-time guards, but they're all empty. These camps are to be operated by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, should martial law need to be implemented in the United States, and all it would take is a presidential signature on a proclamation and the Attorney General's signature on a warrant, to which a list of names is attached. Just ask yourself if you really want to be on John Ashcroft's list. Now, that was Bush's Attorney General. Now, we've had a couple of three more since then. We had a guy by the name of Alberto Gonzalez, if you can remember him. Then there was a guy who took over his place. I forgot his name. Now we got this new guy. See, we got a new guy in there under the Obama label. Hey, do you think that these guys are suspicious that some amount of chaos might develop for which we need 800 of these concentration camps? They're not called concentration camps. They're called relocation facilities. But the barbed wire on top of the fence is facing in, boys and girls. It's not facing out. So the fence isn't designed to keep bad guys out of your relocation center. There isn't anybody trying to get in. It's to keep the guys that are in there from getting out. And there's guards there. Guards. Now, when you're hungry and you need help and you go down to the Salvation Army, do they have guards down there at their soup kitchens? So if these camps were designed to help people who are in trouble because there's been a nuclear war or something like that, then how come they got fences with barbed wire and guards? Huh? Now, come on, let's wake up. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, and I'm doing that on purpose because I wanted to give you a little heads up as to where we're going with this program. Now, here's Alpha and Omega. They said 2010 trends lead to nowhere or oblivion. No, that's not true. Not for 2010, anyway. Military clash in the Middle East didn't happen. 2010 year of absolute chaos. Nope. Didn't have any absolute chaos. We had a few minor disturbances, social upsets in France and in England. Nothing to brag about. War between Israel and their neighbors. Nope, didn't happen in 2010. Iran will shut off oil flow from the Middle East. Nope, they didn't do that. Boy, I'll bet you that the Pentagon and the president would love it if they did. Oh, they have been baiting those Iranians in for the last 5 years. Bush was trying to start a war with them. He couldn't get it going. Obama's is using every provocation, including UN sanctions, to get those people ticked off so they'll do something crazy or do something in retaliation. And then we can say, well, see, we told you they were a bunch of fruitcakes over there. Now we got to go straighten them out. So far, the Iranians haven't taken the bait. But they will. And if they don't take the bait, then we'll go over there and create a false flag operation. We'll go over and sink a ship in the Straits of Hormuz and then blame it on them and then go to war. You know, it's just a matter of time. Iran will shut off the oil. Didn't happen. Immense consequences for world economy. Well, the economy is bad, and it's looking worse. All the numbers are trending poorly. But, you know, the consequences still haven't caught up with us. Oil prices will skyrocket. Well, they're going up. As I speak, the price of gas is $3 a gallon. But in real terms, the price of gas today compared to what it was back in 1950 is about the same. It is true that you're going to buy about you know, 25% less gas with your dollars today, but that's because of the heavy progressive income tax, not because of the oil company's inability to provide the raw material or the gasoline. The oil companies have performed admirably. It's your government that's getting in the way here. And then the world's economies will collapse. Well, no, they haven't done that yet. And total meltdown of the world financial system, no, that hasn't happened yet. Major crisis points in every quarter, no, that didn't happen. And 2010 meltdown year for world's economy. Okay, so Alpha Omega scores zero. Everything that they said is going to happen, but not in 2010. So they score zero. But here's my point. FEMA is prepared for all 11 of those eventualities. Now, isn't that just special? And the executive orders are already in place to deal with all 11 of those predictions. Now, isn't that coincidental? So FEMA, the president, the Congress, the Pentagon, the CIA, the FBI, and all of your state governments are prepared for all 11 of those eventualities that did not occur in 2010. But if and when they occur, they've already got the executive orders in place and 800 relocation centers, commonly called concentration camps. Is that just a coincidence, or is there some real planning going on here? All right, now a fellow by the name of Robin Landry, he's a market expert. I don't know what a market expert is. A market expert. Do you get an MBA or something, or a PhD in market expertise? The real market expert is Goldman Sachs. The record of Goldman Sachs, they call them insider traders, but Goldman Sachs, when they trade for 30 days, they have about 22 days a month, 5 days out of the week, and then, you know, that 4.7 weeks in a month, isn't it? Or is it 4.2, about 4.2 weeks a month. And they score about 90% or more. Sometimes they score 100%. Sometimes they make money every trading day of the month. Not often. Most of the time they make it about 90% of the time. That's why they say these guys can only do that with insider trading. They really know what the hell is going on. But this guy is a market expert. He made three predictions. He said, I believe we're headed to new market highs between 10,780 and 11,241 over the next few months. The most likely time frame for the top is the April to May area. Remember, the evidence, IMHO, still says we're in a bear market rally with a major decline to follow once this rally ends. Okay? Well, the new market highs did hit 11,241. In fact, they're at 11.5 as I speak. The top did not occur in April or May. And the bear market rally, that is, the major decline to follow this bear market rally, didn't occur. Well, didn't occur in 2010. Now, the new market highs, yep, he picked that right. He picked the time frame, April to May, incorrectly. And he said that the bear market rally, major decline to follow, 2010, didn't happen. So again, notice his predictions will all come to pass, but they're not going to happen in 2010. So what's the problem with these 23 guys? Again, it's the timing. That's the only thing that these guys have that's incorrect is the timing. And all these 23, these chicken littles that are predicting the end of the world here, that are predicting chaos and skyrocketing oil prices and collapse of the world's economy and war in the Middle East, hell, the government in Washington, D.C. is preparing for the same things. These guys are just talking. The government actually has hardware in place. They got their money where their mouth is. Yes, sirree, Bob. President Obama, the CIA, the FBI, the Pentagon, FEMA, they've got their money where their mouth is. They are prepared with the hardware in place. How do you like that? Here's a guy by the name of Robert Prichter, P-R-E-C-H-T-E-R, Prichter. And let's see what Robert Prichter says. Hell, I missed one guy, John P. Hussman. There's 24 of these guys in here, and I missed Hussman, didn't I? John P. Hussman, Ph.D., he said, in my estimation, there's still close to an 80% probability that a second market plunge and economic turndown will unfold during 2010. Well, he only made one prediction, and it was wrong. He covered himself, though, like the weatherman did. He said there's an 80% probability called Bayes rule, B-A-Y-E-S rule, that a second market plunge and economic downturn will unfold. Every one of these guys says that the stock markets are all going to turn down. Everybody is prepared for that, including your government in Washington, D.C. But he said there'd be an 80% probability. So if it doesn't happen, then the 20% probability came to play, and he's right. And so there's an 80% probability, and so if it happens, he's right. That's the way they predict the weather. They say that there is an 80% chance of rain today. If it rains, the weatherman is right. If it doesn't rain, the weatherman is right. That's really a phony, baloney way to make a prediction. So that's the way the weatherman does it. Now we come to this guy, Prichter. Prichter, P-R-E-C-H-T-E-R. Founder of Elliott Wave International implores retail investors stay away from the markets for now. Prichter, who was bullish near the lows in March of 2009, now says the stock market is in the topping area, predicting another crash in 2010 that will bring stocks below the 2009 low, which was 7,000 some change. Now, his word to the wise, be patient, don't rush it, keep your money in cash and cash equivalents. Okay, made four predictions there. He said, stay away from the market for now. Stock market is topping now. Crash in 2010, and stocks declining to below the 2009 low. Well, number one, stay away from the markets for now was wrong because the markets went up throughout 2010. Now, it's my understanding that you should buy low and sell high. Well, the markets were low at the beginning of the year, and they've reached their peak. They're at 11,500. So, number one is wrong. Stock market is topping now. Well, if the stock market was topping when he made this prediction, that was back in June. No, that was wrong. The stock market topped toward the end of the year, and it's reached its high at about 11,500. So, that one's wrong. Crash in 2010 didn't happen. Stocks declining below the 2009 low. And no, they didn't do that. So Robert Prichter scores zero. Sorry, Bob. Zero. All right, next guy on the list is a guy by the name of Richard Mogi. But I got to give you a reminder here. We're at the halfway point. Halfway point here. We give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, these beliefs, these comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing 2010. Actually, we are doing an analysis of the predictions made by 23 of the nation's top gurus, newsletter writers. You know, people like Bob Chapman, newsletter writer, and the Wall Street Journal, a very prestigious newspaper here in the United States. Jimmy Doomsday is an investor. And there's a number of investors and stock market gurus over here, and newsletter writers and professors in college and so on. People that other people listen to. And I said we'd start here with Richard Mogey, M-O-G-E-Y. He said in his analysis what he thought he saw coming down in 2010 was the current research director at the Foundation for the Study of Cycles. So Mr. Mogey is the current research director at the Foundation for the Study of Cycles. He said, because of a convergence of numerous cycles all at once, the stock market may go up for a little while, but will crash in 2010 and reach all-time lows late in 2012. Mogey says that the 2008 crash was nothing compared to the coming crash. Gold may correct in 2009, but will go up in 2010 and then peak in 2011, and silver will follow gold. All right, so looking down the list over here, Mr. Mogey made 7 predictions. He said the market will go up for a while. That's correct. He said the market will crash in 2010. That was not correct. He said it will reach all-time lows in 2012. Well, I gave him a passing grade on that one because we haven't reached 2012 yet. So we wouldn't say, well, he was wrong on that because we didn't get there yet. 08 crash will be exceeded by the 2010 crash. Nope. 2010 is up higher than 08. Gold will go up in 2010. He was right about that. He says it will peak in 2011. Well, we don't know where the peak is. But I gave him a passing grade on that one because if it goes up in 2011, we don't know where the peak is. So in 2012, if it goes higher than 2011, well, then he'll be wrong on that one, won't he? But we won't know that until 2012. So number seven, silver will follow gold. Okay, he's wrong on that. Silver led gold this year. Silver's up 54%, gold 16% as I speak. Both are up and both very respectable. One, phenomenal. 54% rise in 1 year is phenomenal. 16% is very respectable. 5% is what these investors say is good. If you bought stocks, then your stock portfolio increased by 5% in 1 year, they'd call you a genius investor. People would want to follow you like Bernard Madoff. They'd get right after it. Well, Mr. Mogi scores 28.5%. Quite a bit below half. Notice here, all of his predictions are predicated upon the time frame 2010. He got four wrong because of the dates. James Kunstler, on 1-1-10, he was way back early on in the year, made three forecasts. Mr. Kunstler said, the economy as we've known it simply can't go on, which James Howard Kunstler has been saying all along. The shenanigans with stimulus and bailouts will just compound the central problem with debt. There's not much longer to go before the whole thing collapses and dies. 6 months to live, the economy that is, especially the part that consists of swapping paper certificates. That's the buzz I've gotten the first 2 weeks of 2010. So way back in January of 2010, Mr. Kunstler said, the economy as we know it can't go on. And before long, the whole thing collapses. And he said 6 months. Okay. Now, we'd have to hold it in abeyance if he hadn't come up with number three. He said these things are going to happen in 6 months. None of the above has occurred. And again, what's the Achilles heel of all of these predictions? Time. And every one of them says it's going to happen in 2010. And so if it doesn't happen in 2010, your 137 predictions all go out the window. But I want to remind you again, boys and girls, that the government is prepared with hardware in place, executive orders on the books, which require only a declaration of martial law and a warrant to implement. I think the president and the attorney general could execute that in 15 minutes. 15 minutes. I think they could do it. Now, I'll bet you that the warrant is already written and signed. All they need are the names they're going to put on the warrant. And they won't know that until they pick you up off the street. See? So the way that works, when you see rioting coming down and people are out here, you know, burning cars and stuff like that, like they've been doing over here in England and France, when you see that going on, you want to stay as far away from that as you can get. Because when the policeman arrests you out on the street with martial law in place, then the suspension of habeas corpus is in place right along with it. And now they can lock you up in this FEMA camp over here without a hearing, without a trial, without bail. They can just lock you up like John Bunyan forever and ever and ever. This is going to be a dangerous time. And so for all of you out there now, if you've got your heads on straight, when you see these upheavals and this unrest going on, you want to go to your plan B and hole up and shut your mouth and fold your hands. Because if you get caught now out on the streets, especially all you guys that get caught out there with your guns, and you're going to straighten the world out here, and they're going to round you up and you're going to a FEMA camp and you ain't coming out again. All right. Now, with that in mind, let's go to Peter Schiff. Now, Peter Schiff is the son of Erwin Schiff, who is the great tax protester. And I don't have any bad words now about Erwin Schiff. He's a very intelligent, articulate fellow. And I don't know his boy, Peter. But I have read some of Peter's... Well, I think he publishes a newsletter. But I've read some of his articles. I think they've been published in Kitco or Spiker or Rents or someplace along that line. I've seen his name. And I agree with him. I think he's right on point. Let's listen to Peter Schiff. He said, in my opinion, the market is now perfectly positioned for a massive dollar sell-off. The fundamentals for the dollar in 2010 are so much worse than they were in 2008 that it's hard to imagine a reason for people to keep buying once a modicum of political and monetary stability can be restored in Europe. In fact, the euro has recently stabilized, and my gut reaction is that the dollar sell-off will be sharp and swift. Once the dollar decisively breaks below last year's lows, many of the traders who jumped ship in the recent rally will look to reestablish their positions. This will accelerate the dollar's descent and refocus everyone's attention back on the financial train wreck unfolding in the United States. Any doubts about the future of the U.S. dollar should be laid to rest by today's announcement that San Francisco Federal Reserve President Janet Yellen has been nominated to be vice chair of the Fed's Board of Governors and thereby a voter on the interest rate setting. It's a 7-member open market committee. Ms. Yellen has earned a reputation for being one of the biggest inflation doves among the Fed's top players. Now, that's the end of his prediction. Schiff is famous for his accurate predictions of the economic events of 2008. Well, let's see. Peter made 4 predictions. He said, the market is positioned for a dollar sell-off, dollar fundamentals worse than 2008, dollar sell-off sharp and swift, and dollar descent to accelerate. Well, I agree that the dollar fundamentals are worse today than they were in 2008, but it didn't make any difference because the dollar actually peaked in 2010. The low for the dollar was in 2008 or 9, I've forgotten which, and I don't have a chart in front of me, at 72 or 3. Then, after the euro got into trouble over this Greek bailout, the dollar actually went up, and it peaked at 89. And I was surprised, just like Peter Schiff, I'm sure, is surprised, that it actually reversed. Now, here's an example of how the Fed and the U.S. government can manipulate the outcome of the obvious. And here's what happened. See, the Greeks over there have been spending themselves into bankruptcy for a long time. And there's 5 or 6 of these countries over there, and they have an acronym that's called PIGS. It's Portugal, P, and then 2 I's, Italy and Ireland. That's the I. G is Greece, then S is Spain. So these are the 5 PIGS countries, and they're bankrupt, all 5 of them. And so a question arises, well, what are we going to do with the Greeks? Now, the Greeks represent about 2% of the European common market's production. Kind of like, the state of Rhode Island represents maybe 2% of the United States GDP. You know, it's a small thing. We could go up and bail Rhode Island out. Now, going out and bailing California out is another story. You know what I mean? Can we bail them out? Well, now here comes the story. The fundamentals of the American balance sheet, this is, you know, our gross domestic product, and then how much do we owe? What's our debt against it? Is about 165%. Now, officially, it's below 100%, but unofficially, that is, in reality, if you counted what we owe, like Social Security and Medicare and so on, it's 165%. The Greeks hit 112%. So our government goes to the rating agencies. You know, this is Standard & Poor's, you know. And they say, hey, downgrade the Greek credit rating. They did. And all of a sudden, it creates this god-awful crisis in Greece. Now, everybody's mind is on Greece and not on the United States. So now people are pulling their money out of Greece, pulling their money out of Portugal. And now what are we going to do with it? So they come over here and they buy U.S. bonds. They buy dollars. So the dollar actually strengthened and went up from 72 to 89. Now, that was a good move on the part of the Federal Reserve. That was a good move on the part of our government. Does that solve our 165% bad credit rating? No, no, it doesn't help us at all. It just focuses everybody's attention on somebody else, keeps their mind off of the real problem, which is here in the United States, and buys a little more time. Kicks the ball down the road, you know, another 300 feet. Now, that's good for you and me because it gives us a little more time to prepare, you know, if nothing else. All right, so Peter Schiff over here, he's 4 for 4, 0. Again, he's picking 2010. The financial train wreck unfolding in the United States, the market is positioned for a dollar sell-off. The dollar sell-off will be sharp and swift. I don't know that it's going to be sharp and swift, but it didn't sell off at all. So it didn't make any difference whether it was slow over a long period of time or sharp and swift. He loses on that one. And the dollar descent to accelerate. The dollar is descending again. It's down around 80. It went from 89 to 80, but it went down very slow. And it went to 79 and then bounced up to 81 or 2, and so you know it's down around the 80 level, which isn't a historic low by any stretch of the imagination. So that's a zero. Lindsey Williams comes in, and he makes two predictions. He says the dollar devalued 30 to 50% by the end of the year, and it'll become very difficult for the average American to afford to even buy food. This was revealed to him through an Illuminati insider. The Illuminati insider is correct, but just not in 2010. The dollar did not devalue by 30 to 50% by year's end, and it is not difficult for Americans to buy food. Not yet. Is it coming? Oh, I'd bet on that one. If I was a betting man, and I am, and I have made that bet. Now, here's an unnamed government economist. He made 7 predictions. I don't know who this guy is because he's unnamed, but he's a government economist. He says, what we have experienced the last 2 years is nothing to what we're going to experience this year. So if you have a job now, you may not have it in 3 to 6 months. That is by August of 2010. The stock market will fall. Great Depression will begin. Foreign investors will stop financing our debt. That equals collapse. 6.2 million are about to lose their unemployment insurance. Well, that didn't happen. He's got one correct. Foreign investors have stopped financing our debt. The Chinese have withdrawn from the market. The Fed now is buying all of the debt. So all of these deficits, these bonds that are being issued by our Treasury, is being bought by Ben Bernanke over at the Fed. So this is just a little ruse between Tiny Tim and Helicopter Ben. And Tiny Tim is selling bonds to the Fed. The Fed is writing out the checks. The Treasury takes the checks and pays the bills, and nobody's the wiser. But the last 2 years, nothing compared to this year. Didn't happen. Last job, lost your job in the next 3 to 6 months. Now unemployment hasn't dramatically increased in the last 6 months. Stock market will fall. Nope, it went up. Great Depression. Nope, not yet. Foreign investors stopped financing the debt. They did. Collapse. Nope. The 6.2 million will lose their unemployment. No, Congress came right in here in this lame duck session just a week ago and voted in a new 13, is it 1 year, I think it is. And voted in another, oh my God, it was $8 billion? $6 billion, something like that. a chunk of money to keep unemployment going. And so, Mr. Unnamed Government Economist, you score 14.2%. Then the last guy on the list here. We got time yet. 54 minutes here. We got time for the last one. Here's Jimmy Doomsday. He says, and here's Jimmy, he says, the Dow will fall below 7,000 before midsummer 2010. The dollar will rise above 95 on the dollar index before midsummer 2010. Gold will bottom out below 800 before midsummer 2010. Silver will bottom out below $10 before the summer of 2010. California debt implosion will start its major downturn by midsummer and hit crisis mode before fourth quarter. The dollar index will plunge below 65 between quarter three and quarter four, 2010. Commercial real estate will hit crisis mode in quarter four, 2010. Over 35 states will be bailed out by the end of quarter four, 2010, by the U.S. taxpayer. End of quarter four, 2010, gold will hit $1,600. And silver jumped to $35 an ounce. Okay. He made 11 predictions. He said the Dow will fall below 7,000. Dollar will rise above 95. Gold will bottom below 800. Silver will bottom below 10. And California debt implosion will start major downturn. All five didn't happen. Well, they didn't happen in 2010. Are those five things going to happen? Absolutely. Can't miss. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Is California going to bankrupt? Oh, yeah. They can't pay their bills. Is the U.S. government going to come in and bail them out? Oh, yeah. They have to. Or the game's over. No choice. Got to. Number six, California debt to hit crisis before the fourth quarter? Nope. Nope. They're still hanging on by their fingernails. Dollar index will plunge below 65? Nope, nope. It's at 81 as I speak. Commercial real estate crisis by the fourth quarter. That commercial real estate crisis is hanging on in the wings. Oh, my God. It is a James Dandy Wallapalooza. When that thing comes to pass, the numbers are going to be worse than the housing crisis. There's more money involved. And that's another story for another program. 35 states will be bailed out. Well, the 35 states that he's talking about are the 35 states that are all bankrupt. Yeah, they'll have to be bailed out. Just there's no two ways about it. Gold, $1,600 by the fourth quarter? No, it hit $1,421, but it didn't hit $16. Sorry, Jimmy. And then silver at $35? No, it's at $29. I don't think it's hit $30 yet. Okay, good predictions, all of the above will come to pass. I'd bet on it. In fact, I am betting on it. I am betting on it. I'm convinced. But not 2010. So now ask me the question, well, then, Mr. Gordon, it must be going to happen in 2011. I don't know that. These guys have been spit and baling wire this economy together for 30 years. In 87, it should have turned turtle. In 91, it should have turned turtle. In 2001, it should have turned turtle. They just keep bailing it out. 2008, you know. Now, it has turned turtle, but they're working mightily to keep this thing floating. Mightily. My God, they're miracle workers. I'm telling you that Ben Bernanke and Tiny Tim are miracle workers holding this thing together. But now, for how much longer? Hey, we're out of time here, boys and girls. I got to leave it right there and remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.